Okay, make sure you're in fellowship. Here we are addressing the dead spider. Yeah, it's like a... I won't say that. Get off my finger there. All right, Roman numeral 9 here. We're looking at objects of prayer, things to pray about. Obviously, we are to pray about everything. Nothing is too slight, too great to take before the throne of grace. But certain areas, obviously, definitely demand our attention, such as our desire to know and understand God and His plan, hence the truth of doctrine, prayer for wisdom. The chain of commands, both establishment and royal chain of commands, deserve our prayers, recognizing God establishes all authority, the responsibilities of those in authority, then as it may apply in regards to our own pursuit of doctrine and other like-minded positive believers, to pray for one another as a royal family. We are all spiritually related, physically, whether or not, is no issue. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Obviously, like-minded believers, those who are positive faith too, are going to take most of our prayers, the ones that are showing and reflecting evidence in regards to being believers and things of that nature, rather than blowing people off and not concerning ourselves with others. Those who are in the long haul with us, as we are in camaraderie, if you will, with one another, to seek to be prize contenders. Obviously, you learn about other people's needs, etc. We pray for them in that respect. We are to where we left off. Obviously, pray for living grace. God promises to provide us for our living grace, but He still wants us to pray for it. In Matthew 6, Matthew 6, 11. In the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread is a prayer for living grace. Luke 11, probably parallel in the book here. Yeah. In the parallel, same thing in Luke 11. To ask God to bless your shopping cart, quality, quantity of products that we buy, to stretch our dollar out for us, you know, all these things. Pray about these things rather than just rushing out there, oblivious in regards to God's hand in all things, desiring for us to look to Him to bless us in our endeavors otherwise. We are to pray concerning our spiritual advance, making the maturity adjustment to the justice of God. Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. To pray for one another's spiritual advance, to hang in there, to stay the course, as we would say, keep the faith, to make that maturity adjustment and hold to the end. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. I read it earlier. I pray that the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of this calling, what are the riches, glory, this inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe, that's active faith. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. To know the full hope, to know the hope of his calling, this phase two calling, all the divine good production involved in application, and the rewards of SG3 that will accompany these things in regards to our Christian lives. G, we are to pray concerning the rapture. Matthew 6:10, again, the model prayer, your kingdom come. That aspect is recognition, desire to see a perfect, absolutely righteous ruler in regards to planet Earth. Time, obviously, the rapture will usher in the final 7 years of the age of Israel. God's judgment will come upon the earth in big ways. We're out of here during that period, but we'll return with Christ at the second advent, of which he will then destroy all of his enemies, and all unbelievers will be killed by Christ, sent directly their souls to hell, and a new regime, a new era of human history will come into place. So the rapture is that which ushers that in. It recognizes the end of the church age dispensation in that respect, and obviously for all of us, our faith indeed does become sight. So H, other believers under testing, again, in aspect of praying for those of the royal family. You find out here of a believer's test, maybe appropriate to say something, maybe not, just. But either way, obviously, put them in your prayers. 2 Corinthians 1:3-11. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. He's the one that provides support, encouragement, RMA, relaxed mental attitude, those things associated with comfort. In regards to our testing, who comforts us, verse 4, in all our afflictions, so we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. It's saying that we pull off our own experience in regards to God intervening and interceding on our behalf to help encourage others to hang in there with it, etc. For just as the sufferings of Christ, verse 5, are ours in abundance as part of the Christian life, common human problems, testing in life, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. The promise is that we can expect a comfort equivalent to the magnitude of our test. But you got to be sensitive to it. You got to be looking for it. You got to be in tune to truly appreciate it and often see it. But if we are afflicted, verse 6, it is for your comfort and salvation in regards to Paul and company and tests they may be undergoing. Obviously, it's all for, if you will, the common good of the church, the local church, to ensure the continuous spiritual advances made available through the teaching and ministry of a doctrinal ministry, etc. So everything that communicator goes through is on behalf of the local church in that respect. Obviously, tests that they go through and continue to support the church is on behalf of the pastor in that sense. So it's reciprocal in regards to his application. Verse 6, continue, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. God will provide for each of us, no matter how dismal it may seem at times. He will keep us going and afloat in regards to our own advance spiritually, fulfilling God's plan for our lives in that fashion. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, verse 8, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. And the test Paul company underwent was on the threshold of actually being martyred on occasion, and the other types of oppression that would come upon through hostility, antagonism, lack of means, economically, etc. Indeed, we had the sense of death within ourselves, verse 9, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. this attitude of looking at the fact that God's will keep him going. God's power is what keeps us all going. To accept what is in front of us at face value for what it is, and to have the wherewithal spiritually to look to God in order to provide our deliverance rather than reacting under energy of the flesh, trying to, under our own steam, if you will, resolve the situations and tests. That in compromise of doctrine otherwise necessary to maybe get the heat off your back or whatever. And verse 10, that's the idea that's behind that. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also join in helping us through your prayers. Verse 11, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. And Paul recognized the importance of prayer on his behalf and others. Philippians 1:19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, ministry of God the Holy Spirit. James 5:14 and 15. In regards to those who are sick, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. One who may be under the weather, even to in a health test that might they may be facing a death test, but yet there is continued positive volition. The individual seeks to continue to fulfill God's plan for their life. Not to be cut off short is the idea of wanting to continue to extend their life. And here is a formal way that it can be approached. We dealt with it when we did the book of James. And for the church leadership, deacons and pastor, follow the regime and then pray over the sick. God hears that prayer. I've seen this accomplished before at the previous church I was at, and every time that I know it's been utilized, it was successful. So take it for what it's worth. And prayer offered in faith, verse 15, obviously all things have to be in place accordingly. We'll restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, could be there in condition through divine in that condition because of divine discipline, judgment in their body. See, obviously, a repentance is accompanies it. It will be forgiven him. Get into reversionism and find themselves in sin of death and want to make reversion and recovery, etc. We are to cast all our cares to God in prayer. Read earlier, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. Take it for the throne of grace. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Jay, pray for your enemies. Doesn't mean you aid and abet. Ask God to intercede get them off the call off the dogs. It'll save them future wrath for their continued for otherwise continued persistence of afflicting positive volition otherwise. Understand, everybody will answer for their actions towards others. Matthew 5:44. Contrary to hating your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So you give them a spiritual wake-up call, see the error of their ways. Or otherwise intercede. Luke 23:34. Christ is an example. Jesus is saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing in regards to those responsible in his execution. Okay, we're to pray for other local churches and believers that are faithful to the Word of God. Their NPR. Earlier we read Ephesians 1:15-16, the love for all the saints. L, we are to withhold our intercessory prayers to extend life for those that are reversionists and on their deathbeds. On the opposite end of the coin, of a special prayer to extend life for purpose of reversion recovery or a continuation of one's niche because they haven't fulfilled God's plan for their life otherwise. On the other end of the coin, we are not to pray for extended life for the reversionist. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not to death, that is a perpetuation of sin in a state of reversionism, that and for the person sin not to death, he shall ask and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. In other words, they come to repentant, sin otherwise that has been dealt with rebound, etc. Obviously, you can pray on their behalf. On the other end of the coin, for the reversionist that is going to continue to perpetuate it, there's not going to be a repentance, reversion, recovery. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make requests for this. Jesus did not pray intercessory for negative volition unbelievers. John 17:9, in the Lord's high priestly prayer, as it's so called, his prayer was on behalf of those whom God had given him. So we read the entire prayer previous class. One, the Lord's prayer is on behalf of believers that have been given him and not for the cosmos in general. Two, again in recapping the prayer, Christ understands that God has provided all that men need to obtain salvation and establish reconciliation with him to establish peace. But that negative volition will not accept the terms and conditions of the peace God offers. Three, Jesus understands the doctrine of volition, that the ball is in the court of all unbelievers and the final decision lies with each individual. People got to make up their own minds. Everybody's free to make their own choice, just as we're free to make our choice. What we determine that we want, most important in our lives, other people determine that's not what they want, and they choose others. Now, you've got to recognize these principles in discernment in regards to praying for others. And that is the doctrine of volition. And no matter what you do, negative volition determines to remain negative. There's nothing that's going to change their mind. Four, that's any prayer other than the expression of the inner desire for their salvation, which is legitimate. God desires all men to be saved and come to understanding of the truth, such as Romans 10:1, compare 1 Timothy 2:4. Any prayer other than having that desire is tantamount to asking God to manipulate their volition, which He will not do. He's not going to coerce them, force them to believe. I don't care how much you want it to happen for them. By therefore any prayer regarding negative volition and enemies of ourselves and God must be confined within the limits of the principle of volition, and understanding that God has and will continue to provide all that is necessary for those to express positive volition if they so choose. We all found our way to doctrine. What's the rest of the world's excuse? Exodus 30:19. Deuteronomy, yes. Deuteronomy 30:19. Oh, God, I can't read. It's a good thing I got the gift. I wonder, man, you're sharp, you know? Oh, he can read, okay. Anyway, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death. And the choice is there for all men. It's your two options, eternal condemnation or eternal life. The blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, accurately and precisely documents the existence of free will. It's your choice, see. Make your tree one way or the other, as other language so articulates it. Roman numeral 10, then hindrances to effective prayer. Want to try to keep your garden weeded of these things in your prayer life. A, obviously, any old sin nature activity, failure to rebound, that hinders our prayers. Psalm 66:18. If I regard wickedness in my heart, as the psalmist so proclaims, the Lord will not hear. You're pursuing SCA agenda, motivation, activity, and you're trying to engage in effective prayer, that falls on deaf ears, so to speak. B, obviously wrong content based on negative volition and or ignorance. Proverbs 28:9. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. The law representing the truth of Bible doctrine. Can't pray out of context, out of doctrinal context. C, obviously rejection of Bible doctrine. You reject doctrine, that's going to directly have a negative impact on your prayers. Proverbs 1:28. Then they will call me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So you always got to check yourself. Make sure you're not taking issue with doctrine. You're embracing it. Otherwise, when you really need God, He'll let you wallow in your misery. D, wrong intentions. Praying for the less grievous sin nature, the STA, James 4:3, we read that earlier. Yeah, you don't have because you don't ask. And then you, when you do ask, you pray with wrong motives, for selfish reasons, selfish gain. Let's see. And that is STA-sponsored thinking and motivation. E, to pray in unbelief. You don't believe the doctrine. What's the conflict there? Doctrine of the blatantly obvious. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. To think ahead, recognizing God has heard this prayer. He's heard it in his right context, right motive, intention, and right need. And to believe with that type of tenacity of confidence in regards to God addressing your prayers appropriately. James 1, 5, and 8. There again, wisdom, prayer. And then verse 6, that's verse 5, verse 6. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. You can take issue with the doctrines as they are revealed to you in the Scriptures. And you wonder why God doesn't answer certain prayers in your life. It's because you doubt. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. They're not stable spiritually. It vacillates in regards to your approach to God. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So, it's pretty clear. You want God to hear your prayers. You've got to embrace the doctrine. Lack of domestic harmony will hinder your prayer life. 1 Peter there, 3:7, in a marital relationship. Husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so your prayers may not be hindered. To ensure, as authority of the house, that you're not abusive in regards to your wife, etc. Obviously, it takes two people to produce harmony. If one is not willing to line up with doctrine, conflict's going to ensue no matter what you may do. But for those who otherwise pursue antagonism in tactics in regards to their spouse, argumentative, things of this nature, your prayer is having a tough time getting to God's ears in a positive way, to say the least. Principle is you shouldn't let the sun go down on your anger, even a righteous anger. G, lack of forgiveness. Again, in the model prayer, following the model prayer in Matthew 6, 12, 14, and 15, he makes it very clear, if you don't forgive, God doesn't forgive. Principle is you can't be out of fellowship yourself and have an effective prayer life with God. You rebound. Every time you rebound, you don't question God forgiving you. You shouldn't. So, to extend that application, it doesn't mean that you don't recognize evil for what people are, maybe even actual harm that's come to you. But you're not going to be vindictive. You leave room for God to take a vengeance on your behalf. See? Also, Mark 11:24, Luke 11:4 parallels. H, again, failure to ask simply because you don't pray about something. James 4:2. And then lack of compassion. To lack compassion. To be sensitive to other people's testings, needs. Proverbs 21:13. He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. To shut out other people. Be insensitive in regards to their tests in life. When you have your tests, God will respond to you in like fashion. All right, Roman numeral 11. Some concluding observations. Finish up the doctrine today, and we'll get back into text this week. Prayer, like all divine good production, must fall under the doctrinal principle, action with honor. To pray in fellowship according to divine viewpoint. It is then a divine good application. Action with honor. Most believers are just spinning their wheels under human good. See? Under human good. Be like all other doctrines of the Word of God. It must be studied and applied correctly. See, prayer is a wonderful privilege that we possess due to our position in Christ. Because who and what Jesus Christ is, we have this blessing of communicating with the Supreme Being of the universe in such a personal way. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ, in the sphere of His person, based on our union with Him. D, we are to have confidence in our Heavenly Father and come to Him as a child would to his natural father. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption, as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is like daddy in the English. Even the most personal relationship, as a child would a young child, to their own earthly father in time of need. That's how personal it is, and the confidence we are to have that He will respond accordingly for our benefit, for our best. Galatians 4:6. Again, same parallel. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of the Son to our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. In Hebrews 4:16. Draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. So one, our confidence is through our knowledge and faith rests in God's promises to us as His children in our relationship with Him. Two, therefore, our confidence is drawn from our faith in God and Bible doctrine, not from within ourselves or from the world, the cosmos. Three, Jesus in His humanity had perfect confidence that God always heard His prayers because He was always in fellowship with the Father and asked or did nothing apart from God's will. He was obviously perfectly oriented and hence a perfect example. John 11, 41, B, 42, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He fully recognizes that the Father has embraced all that he has said to him. And I knew that you heard me always. I knew that you hear me always. But because of the people standing around, I said that they may believe you did or you sent me. And that is in conjunction with the raising of his friend Lazarus. And then John 5:30 again, recognizing that he did nothing apart from the Father's will. It wasn't his own agenda, it was God's agenda that he followed. We may freely commit everything in our lives to God in prayer. Again, Philippians 4:6 and 1 Peter 5:6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. F, prayer is a royal family imperative to which we are to be devoted. It's a command. It's a privilege, but it's also a command. Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in the hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, the imperative. Keep an alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. G, certain individuals in local church have an itch that permits them to devote large amounts of time to prayer. Let's say a pastor would have that type of time. Others, maybe people that are retired or sick, things of that nature. First, just their niche in general gives them more free time for this. 1 Timothy 5:5. In regards to a widow, now she who is a widow indeed, she didn't have the responsibility of taking care of her husband, the house, otherwise in that regards, and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. An example of one. H, we are not to pray aimlessly. Again, like a Vegas style prayer, that's wrong. Is be according to sound doctrine, point H, and therefore in line with the will of God. Luke 22:42. In regards to God, Christ and his prayer, Gethsemane, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. According to God's will, by divine design, 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that's the caveat, he hears us. If we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Our success in prayer is going to be in direct proportion to our understanding and application of Bible doctrine. 1 John 3:22. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. See? applying doctrine and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. For those believers, God is continually blessing them in regards to their prayer life. And then J, finally, doctrinally correct prayers. The adjusted believer that is intellectually honest can produce much on behalf of themselves and others. James 5:16, therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another so you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, be sensitive to the prep school. We're letting you out a little early.